when Andrew walked in, I said, we're going to see tax reductions. And he laughed. And then I had to get him to stop giggling so hard to get him to give me an answer. What's going to happen?
Good question. That's why you tune into this program
That's
every
exactly
week.
Exactly right.
So we can keep you updated on that front. Yeah, Lockwood, what I really want to talk about this week is, and I wanted to piggyback off an article that was in the Carteret News Times regarding World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And I thought this was a very important topic to speak of this morning. So Carteret County DSS office had a nice ceremony relative to the raising the awareness about elder abuse in our community and throughout the state of North Carolina. And, you know, that article had some pretty shocking stats. You know, 30,000 cases reported of elder abuse that have to be investigated by Department of Social Services each year. 345 in our county, Carteret County, since, you know, 2020, start of 2020. So you see those numbers, and those numbers don't lie. It's a real problem that we face in our community, throughout the state, and throughout the nation. In reading other articles, FBI estimates $3 billion of possible losses relative to elder abuse and seniors. And, you know, this abuse takes many forms, Lockwood. It takes forms of mental, emotional, physical, financial. So, you know, you've got all of those issues that are at play when we have a situation where someone comes to our office and tells us that, hey, look, I'm worried about this situation regarding this particular person. And whenever we have those types of cases, Lockwood, where we have someone come in our office and express those types of concerns, that's almost a stop, drop, and roll for our office.
Really?
Because we want to make sure that if there is something going on, we get it investigated very quickly and that we take the necessary action very swiftly to prevent any further abuse from occurring. So it's just one of those situations that we really take very seriously at Harvell and Collins and want to make sure that whether it's a client, a potential client, if those types of concerns are being expressed regarding physical, mental, emotional, financial abuse of an individual, an elderly individual in our population, you know, we're going to make sure that we try to get to the bottom of it.
And I would assume that a great deal of it, of course, manifests itself in other areas, but probably predicated primarily on financial.
Correct. That's right. Because you know what it is, Lockwood. At the end of the day,
they want the money.
Yep. It's about a dollar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Control. Right.
Control and money. That's exactly right. And I think that's where I've got a story out of Charlotte. That's one of those, you know, cautionary tales. I mean, it's tragic. And this one was investigated by the United States Attorney General's office ultimately. But, you know, unfortunately in these cases, Lockwood, what you see is that a lot of times it's too late. You know, by the time you can get the authorities to take the matter seriously, potentially, it's too late, which is why a lot of times on our end, what we're trying to do as lawyers is maybe file that guardianship action, get an interim guardian in place, you know, set up some mechanism to stop potential abuse. And I use the word potential because sometimes it may not be that it was exactly what we thought at the beginning, but putting a pause button on a situation and making sure that we don't dig that hole even deeper is so important because the longer this goes on, Lockwood, the more detrimental it can be for an individual.
And also time, of course, is of the element in light of the individual may not have that much time left.
Correct.
But the other aspect, and of course the care for that individual is expensive too. I'm wondering, do these situations become, do you see them more often as a result of a family member raising the prospect or a friend raising the prospect of potential abuse? Or could it come from something as simple as an accounting issue where an accountant is doing someone's tax records and, you know, is aware that there's some holes here.
All the above.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the above. Okay. You get it sometimes from friends, sometimes from family, sometimes from an accountant. Sometimes from an investment advisor. This is a lot of times where we see issues. You know, one of the good things I've seen with our investment firms, Wells Fargo, Edward Jones, those types of places, is trusted contacts on accounts.
Uh-huh.
So one of the big things we have here is we have this confidentiality that these these firms have to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Yet what happens when we believe that we have a possible elder abuse situation? You know, we see that $50,000 go out of the account, $100,000 go out of the account, $150,000 go out of the account. Where's that money going? What's happening? That's when that trusted contact on your account or your power of attorney, and hopefully that's a respectable person, or become critical in these particular situations. And the story I've got for you today, Lockwood, involves Catherine Torricelli. She lived in the Charlotte area, moved down from New York. And guess how her elder abuse story got started? A housekeeper.
Mm.
A housekeeper. Just someone cleaning her home, who then all of a sudden decided, her name was Donna Graves, who decided, you know what? I see a possibility to exploit this individual. And she did some of the classic signs that we see with relative to elder abuse, which is she took over Miss Torricelli's affairs.
Mm-hmm. Financial affairs.
She did. And she started, you know, started small. And a lot of times it starts small. Guess what she started doing?
Right.
Selling jewelry, selling wedding bands, selling fur coats. Then it became Social Security checks.
Whoa.
And Medicare checks. Attorney General says they estimate that got her about $300,000 right there, just in selling all of those particular items and taking those types of checks. Her brother, Catherine Torricelli's brother, lived three blocks away. And he was the power of attorney. And whenever he would come over to try to question things, they would put him off, not let him enter the room, you know, keep him away from his sister. And unfortunately, when he went up to Duke, because he was getting bladder cancer treatment, Donna Graves used that as an opportunity to take Miss Torricelli to the bank.
Wow.
And take $245,000 from her account at that point in time, because guess what? Her brother was not in the picture to be able to put a stop to it. She then goes as far, Lockwood, and this is one of those wild and crazy stories. She uses she contacts a friend up in New York and convinces her that the problem here is obviously not me, not Donna Graves. It's the brother.
Okay.
So we need to get him removed as power of attorney, because he is the one who wants to try to steal and take advantage of Miss Torricelli. So that friend gives $2,000 of her own money to have the power of attorney revoked.
Wow.
She also then used Miss Torricelli's money to hire private security at the house. So that way when the brother would go try to visit, they would say, you've got to leave here. You're not welcome. You're not invited. Eventually, what happens, Lockwood, is the money runs out.
Uh-huh.
And guess what happens? Donna Graves calls the friend in New York and says, guess what? Miss Torricelli needs your help.
She's bankrupt.
You know, we need you now to come get her, come pick her up, and take her to a nursing home in New York, because we can't take care of her anymore. There's no more money to take care of her.
Wow.
Well, guess what, Lockwood? The story has a sad ending, in the sense that, unfortunately, Miss Torricelli ended up bankrupt.
Right.
Medically not doing well. Passed away a few short months after being moved up to New York to go into that nursing facility. But Donna Graves, just recently, at the end of 2020, pled guilty to conspiracy, money laundering, and wire fraud, and is going to spend several years in the state's federal penitentiary.
What's the status of the brother? Is he still with us?
Yes, still with us.
You know
what he's doing now, which is interesting? He's going to nursing homes and other outlets and speaking out about elder abuse.
Okay.
Which is just what I think is remarkable. He said, you know, my sister was stolen from me, was taken from me. And he felt like there was nowhere where he could turn. You know, and what I want to tell our listeners here is that if you believe potentially that there's an elder abuse situation going on, get on the phone, if you really believe it, get on the phone with DSS and Carteret County Sheriff's Department. If you think, hey, look, I'm not getting the answers to this particular situation, come see us at Harbell and Collins and let us take the necessary action to try to make sure that your loved one, your friend, your family member is being protected.
Okay, and let me just remind folks, that number, by the way, is 252 area code 726-9050. Easy to remember, 726-9050. That's Harbell and Collins. You know, the aspect of this, Andrew, is the fact that many instances the victims don't realize they're being victimized.
Exactly.
And actually will take on and defend.
Correct.
The very people that are doing the harm.
And that makes it an even harder situation to deal with, because you've got a person here who is in effect brainwashed and believes
very
that this person is looking out for them,
yes,
when in fact they're just taking everything that they have.
I think that's, that is a, I'll just posit this as an observation. Maybe periodically it is beneficial, though the recipient of the care loves or likes the person that's giving it, it is helpful periodically to refresh the caregivers. In other words, get a new caregiver,
correct,
in with a different set of eyes.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that, and I know that's difficult on the recipient of the care.
It is.
Because they build a
trust
relationship.
That person. Well, they feel like they got their best interest at heart.
I don't mean to be demeaning here. It's almost childlike, because
yes,
they become very trusting and they're very dependent upon these caregivers. And once the caregivers fully understand the needs of the recipient,
and you got to remember, Lockwood, that's the person that's around them all the time.
Time. Yeah.
So when they start saying, "Hey, look, I'm looking out for you. Your brother's the one you need to be concerned about."
Yeah.
He's coming under. He's snooping under, asking questions. He's trying to call authorities. He's trying to, you know,
right.
He's the one. He's the problem. He's the one that's trying to take advantage of you.
Because he's not there all the time.
Correct. So that's the real, real dangerous situation, and that's why you got to get ahead of this kind of stuff.
I like that, your comment about the fact when it comes in with you, how seriously you
correct.
Take it. That's
Andrew, high priority.
Andrew Foster, Harvell and Collins, and that number again, 726-9050.